Good morning, Columbia Grove family. Well, just wanted to welcome you to our house. It is Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. And yeah, we're here in the Thompson home. And if you are part of a pastor's family today, I'm assuming this is true for at least a lot of ministry families, that it means that that you kind of get co-opted into a broadcast. So this is just something from our living room. So if you end up hearing a dog barking, that's Piper running security for anybody who would dare walk down Cherry Street at this moment in the morning. And you might see a cat coming in and out of things. His name is Smog or Melvin, and he has a great ability to know where he is not wanted and go exactly there. So, or if you hear giggling in the background, that's my family. Back running the computer there is Lauren, and Anita's on the camera, and you're going to see Elizabeth from time to time as part of the music. But my hope for this entire time, while we are in self-isolation and kind of staying at home, is just that as a church family, we would find ways to be connected. I mean, my number one hope is that we would stay well connected with one another and that we would keep our focus together on Jesus. And so throughout the service today, I've been trying to do some things that will actually help us to stay connected. Now, being a part of the check-ins and the little comments are going to be a big part of it. So encourage you to do that. I'd love it if you would greet other people and like one another's comments and stay on top of that kind of a thing. I'll be watching some of that as we go here. I'm not the only one. So let me introduce you to the rest of the team really quickly, our other online pastors.
I'm Gayla Tofton.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Paul.
And so Gayla and Paul and Nick are going to be commenting, and we're going to try some things with a remote feed a little bit later with some prayer. We've been also trying to do some things with technology this week with Zoom and with some pre-recording pieces so that you're going to see a number of faces from church leaders. Not all of it, maybe. We're trying this stuff out. So if there's glitches, please be gracious with that. We're learning as we go, just like everybody in this season. But a few other things just to be aware of. First is, even as we were getting ready for the service, you probably saw something about check-ins. We appreciate it if you could do that. In March, because of your check-ins, you sponsored 24 pairs of shoes, which is really, really cool. Give yourselves an online clap for that. There you go. that's right. That's the cat. Apparently there's a bird outside the window. Anyways. Your check-ins have helped with that. And in April, every check-in makes, triggers a small donation to Convoy for Hope that's providing, a coronavirus relief around the country. So, please do that. It really does make a difference. And it also helps to, just even get people connected to your home church as well. And on that note, throughout the service, it helps when you like, and I love seeing the like counts coming up on the screen. Thank you for doing that and for people checking in that way. But also, if you would take a moment and just share this video with your friends, that'll also help to spread the word as well. A few other, I should also mention, we have a prayer team. So I wonder if can we put that prayer team note up on the screen. Thanks, Lauren. See how cool she is? Okay, so we have people that are available throughout the service for prayer. And so we're going to keep those numbers scrolling at the bottom of the screen for a few minutes. And I think we're also going to post them in the comment section from time to time. And these are people that you could call at any point during the service. They're here just to pray, because this is a tough season. A season where, we're by medical necessity, we're being more isolated, but that also means it's kind of a harder season just in terms of feeling connected. As you reach out, don't just feel like you can reach out over a screen or via text, although those things are good, but sometimes it's good to just talk to a real live human being. So the people that you see on the screen there, they are available right now. And we'd love it if you would call them and pray with them. So we're going to keep that up for a few moments. Other ways that you can be involved is I want you to be aware that we're going to be offering some special Holy Week services this week, in addition to some of the daily content that we're trying to provide on a regular basis. So Thursday night at 6:30, we'll have a Maundy Thursday, or you can almost think of it like a Living Last Supper service. Our creative team, led by Laura Fox and some great actors, they've got some really cool stuff that's being planned for that. But we'll also be doing a bunch of things live with music and just some interactions around the elements of the Seder meal. Or the Passover meal. So invite you to be part of that. And then on Friday, on Good Friday, from 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock, we'll have some things up on the live feed here. So some music, some scripture readings, just some ways to be focused on the cross. And we'll have some members with our online care team available to be praying with you and just interacting with you there as well. But I just encourage you on that Good Friday just to spend some time. You know, even if you're just on the feed for, let's say, 15 minutes or something like that, just to hear some scripture passages and remind yourself and remind one another what Jesus has done for us. And then Sunday morning, it'll be Easter Sunday from home, but we're looking forward to doing some pretty creative things there as well. And in addition to the things you're going to see today with some of the live feed stuff and trying to connect people even from a distance, we're doing something called Easter in a Bag. It may not be a bag that looks exactly like this, but our team is going to be preparing just little kits this week that'll have communion elements. So not only do we take communion together in the online service, but we'll potentially even be taking the same communion elements together. It'll be some of those individually packaged ones that you might have experienced, but also some family craft things, some coloring pages, some things like that that really just designed for families to be participating in Easter together. And just by us doing those things and using the very same elements together as a church family, it's my hope that we can be feeling like we're just staying really well connected during this time. So more information with that's going to be coming out this week in email, on our Facebook page, and other kind of, we'll use as many mechanisms as we can. So please stay connected there. A reminder that it is still very, very helpful to have you give. This is a season where the ministry need is greater than ever, but there are also some really significant challenges because as a church that's not able to gather in person at this moment, that part's kind of difficult. So invite you to continue. If Columbia Grove is your home church, please continue to support it. And one of the best ways to give is by giving online. If you go to columbiagrove.org, and thanks, Lauren, for putting that on the screen. Go to columbiagrove.org and click on the Give tab, and it's a safe and secure way to do that. And I just want to put a thought in your head as well. Churches, just like, you know, a lot of organizations and small businesses, this is an especially trying time. And so just a thought to put out there is if you are able, especially if you are still employed in some form or another, when those stimulus checks arrive in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that, just encourage you to be thinking about tithing your stimulus. Like if you can give 10% of that to your local church, if Columbia Grove's your home church, please do that. If there's another church that you would call your home church and you're just happening to join our live feed today, please do that. That can make all the difference between the local churches being able to continue to thrive and be able to offer strong ministry, on like in-person ministry, on the far side of this whole COVID-19 adventure that we're all on. And then for the rest of it, as you're able to, especially be supporting small business and especially be supporting local business, it makes a huge, huge difference. But so please be thinking even in advance of how you might use that, that stimulus and what you might do with that. And just encourage you to think about tithing there. Let's see. Oh, I'll also mention our food bank. Thank you for being generous with that. that's been incredibly helpful. The need in this valley is greater than ever. Some just anecdotal conversations and things I've heard from Cervenetti Valley, our food bank partner, is right now they're giving about eight times the normal number of food boxes. Eight times. So you probably heard where, you know, Town Toyota Center is being used as a distribution point. Even the National Guard has been involved with that. I mean, this is a very, very pressing local need. And so if you can even bring the bring food items by our church, Pastor Paul is taking responsibility for getting those items to the food bank at the time that's needed, so that those things can be then distributed in a safe way. But please continue to do that. So as we're checking in with one another, invite you to maybe post an emoji or a GIF of how your past week has been, or if you are feeling really bold, maybe take a selfie photo of your family as you are worshiping online and post that. So I'm going to see maybe somebody's in our household's going to do that. We'll find out. But see if you can do that. And that's just a way of staying connected. And we're going to keep the, let's put those prayer numbers back on the screen again. So just so that people can know who they can call. And now, a little bit later in the service, we're going to be participating in communion together. So if you have any communion elements, so any type of bread, like a cracker, anything, any type of juice, we're going to be doing that together in just a little bit. But today is Palm Sunday, and this is a week where we remember Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and we put our focus on the events of Jesus' final week. And so this year, we're especially looking at those stories through the Gospel of Mark. And I've had a number of people that we did a big Zoom chat earlier this week, so we have a number of scripture readers that we're going to be involved with things. But the big theme that's been on my heart as I've been reading through these verses that I hope will be an encouragement to you today is as we hear these scripture passages of Jesus' journey towards the cross, to be reminded that Jesus chose the cross. Jesus chose the cross. So we're going to be seeing that theme and hearing that theme throughout. But we're going to start things off with a scripture reading from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And thanks, Ailette Ness, for reading scripture for us this morning.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'"
Well, thanks, Ailette. And so as we remember Jesus' triumphal entry, I want to invite us to do something together with a song. So I tried this with some of our musicians this week, actually using some remote cameras and things like that. But as we remember this at home, I invite you to do a couple of things. See if you can find something that is a leaf, like a palm. If you don't have a palm, this is not doing too well because we have a cat that really likes plants. It's kind of nasty. Anyways, but maybe during the song, just as a family, be, you know, waving your palms or post some palm emojis or palm gifts or something like that. But let's join together in song around the song, Hosanna.
praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, are washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
And so as Jesus entered Jerusalem, the very first place he went was into the temple. And we hear that story in Mark chapter 11, verses 15 through 18, and it's read this morning for us by John Brandt.
On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching.
And so as we have an opportunity this morning to interact with that passage, I'd love for you to share a comment on what does it mean to you that God's house is meant to be a house of prayer for all nations. So take a moment to comment on that, because I think as we dial into the heart of Jesus, and as we put our focus on him, we'll discover just how important prayer is and how central worship is to the life of any Christian. And so that's one of the reasons why I encourage us during this season, especially the season of isolation, especially the season of anxiety, to spend time with God's word on a daily basis. So whether you're a new version, whether it's an old-fashioned Bible, but whatever, just some way or another to anchor your heart in God's word, and also allow that to be a time where we pray for one another. But take a few moments and leave a comment on what it means to you that God's house is meant to be a house of prayer for all nations. Because then Jesus, even as he was heading into the temple, and he was kind of stirring up activity there, and we hear his passion there for prayer and for God's word, Jesus, over those next days, spent a lot of time teaching in the temple. And so we're going to hear a passage from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34, read by Sue and Wyatt Kane. This is really, I can't wait to hear what he does. But that helps us to hear the very heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus.
One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important one?"
"The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.'"
"Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and that there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
And so as we think about that passage and think about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, I'd like to spend a little bit of time also interacting with the question, so what does it mean for you to be loving God and loving others this week? Because at least one of the ideas that comes to my mind is how, you know, this is a season where we're actually called to be making some pretty significant sacrifices, some changes in behavior, especially for the sake of the vulnerable. Now, not all of us are maybe in dire medical threat because of COVID-19. It can affect anyone, and we've been seeing that around the planet. But there are groups of people that are especially vulnerable. And so a big part of what we're called to be doing as acts of love are to be allowing some limitations in our own freedoms and maybe being careful to not hoard resources that we don't need, or to be setting aside resources for the people who need it the most, whether that would be our medical workers or even just simply the day-to-day supplies for people who are most at risk. So then as the week progressed and Jesus's teaching continued, as they gathered on that Thursday for I knew this would happen. As they gathered on that Thursday for the Seder meal, for the Passover meal, Jesus exemplified to his disciples in a very powerful way what it means to be a person of service. And so we're going to look at, and Brian and Kathy Adelman are going to be reading for us John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Let's hear God's word now.
It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet."
Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had both a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Just seeing some really thoughtful interaction online around those questions of what it means to be part of for God's house to be a house of prayer. Brant is saying how we're all welcome in his house, and Karen is how we've all been adopted into his family. Gayla, of how everyone is welcome to come and participate. Thanks for those thoughtful additions there. And even of what it means to be serving. So as Hillary to say, to love God as God loves us. Or as Laura said, to be checking in with people, to be loving, serving, or just connecting with them. I love hearing even the stories this week of how you've been doing that. And how you've been checking in with your neighbors, and how you've been looking to exemplify a love God, love others, or as we like to put it here at Columbia Grove, a love like Jesus lifestyle of somebody that is looking to demonstrate in tangible ways the love of God to the world around us. So even as John reminds us, as John's recollection of Jesus' final meal with his disciples reminds us that Jesus came and exemplified service to his disciples, and he was a leader who modeled, even in his final hours, that a leader is someone who serves. It was at the same meal, as they were celebrating the Passover, that Jesus added some unique elements that for us become the center of the communion meal, you know, something that we celebrate together as a church family on a regular basis, and even you know, here at Columbia Grove, we try to celebrate on a weekly basis and remember this on a weekly basis. And so we're going to hear from Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 25, as John Brandt reads us that passage of Jesus sharing his final meal with his disciples.
On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread in the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Thanks so much, John. And as we remember Jesus' words to his disciples, this was in the time in the service where I was hoping that we could celebrate communion together. So hopefully you had a chance to get something. So whether it's a glass of great, in this case, grape juice, or some sort of a bread, you know, we heard Jesus' words where he took the bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." How he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of many." So I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer, and then I invite us to serve one another. I'm going to actually ask some family to join me here so we can serve one another. Yeah, there you go. And Lauren's like, "Yeah, I'm operating the camera. I don't have to do that right now. That's great." but just for us to be communing with one another. So if you're at home, even if you're home alone right now, let's do that together. I want to lead us in the time of prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you that we can remember your goodness together. That you left us with this sacred meal as a reminder of what love looks like. your body broken and your blood shed. So Lord, as we gather, whether we're gathering around a table right now or on a couch, Lord, we just pray that that you would be honored through these elements, and that you would use this time together as families and as individuals and as people just connected, across the internet, that you would use this as a time that by your Holy Spirit you would strengthen us for lives of service and lives that that love you and that love others. So we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I would invite you at home, whether that is by taking a piece of bread and just and then taking a drink from the cup, or I think here we're probably going to do by intinction, and we're going to try to keep the dog from participating in communion. And somehow there's a cat that's just, anyways. But Anita, this is Christ's body given for you, and Christ's blood shed for you. Elizabeth, Christ's body given for you, Christ's blood shed for you. Lauren, Christ's body given for you, Christ's blood shed for you.
Andrew, Jesus' body, Jesus' blood shed for you, Jesus' body broken for you.
And then after Jesus celebrated the Last Supper together with his disciples, then he went off to, and this is where I need you to, thank you. He went into the garden for a time of prayer, and it was there after an extended time of prayer that one of his disciples, Judas, came and betrayed him. And so we're going to hear that passage from Mark chapter 14, verses 43 through 50, right now, read by Mary.
Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled.
And so as we think of Jesus in the garden, and we think of Jesus's betrayal. And you don't need to maybe post a comment on this, but just to be thinking about the times in your life where you have, and I know I have, functionally betrayed Jesus. The times where we've known about his love, we've known that we're wanting to follow him, but maybe we held back. And just like the disciples, you know, maybe we were ashamed to let people know that we're a follower of Christ. Or we've held back in doing something that we know was right, out of fear. You know, as we do those things, we're in good company. You know, the disciples, they knew, as we hear their stories, you know, we hear how the followers of Jesus, Jesus's disciples, Jesus's friends, how they were very real people just like us. You know, with all the same kind of fears and anxieties and failings as well. So I just want you to take a moment and think about the times in your life where just like the disciples, where you've betrayed Jesus, where you've functionally abandoned your faith, you know, where you've held back from following him because you were scared. And then as we, after Jesus's betrayal, you know, Jesus was tried before Pilate, before Herod, and then back to Pilate. And then you can even imagine the scene as Jesus is before the crowds, and Pilate asks, you know, what should we do with this Jesus, the one you call King of the Jews, and how the crowds, in their betrayal of Jesus, would call out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And then how Jesus was led away to be crucified. We're going to hear these words from Mark chapter 15, verses 16 through 39, read by a variety of people. And so I just invite you to just open your heart to God's word. And maybe even right now, I mean, it's good to be, you know, watching the screen, but even right now, as you're hearing those words for a moment, even just to shut your eyes and allow the scenes of Scripture to wash through your mind and to remind yourself of what Jesus did as Jesus chose the cross for you and for me. Let's hear those words.
The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of the soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on. And then they led him out to crucify him.
A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha. Golgotha, right? Okay, I'm going to start over. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he would not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get.
It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near him heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last breath.
The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
So in those passages, we hear how Jesus chose the cross. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing as he journeyed into Jerusalem, even as the crowds were, you know, waving the palm branches and yelling Hosanna. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing as he was heading into the temple and even stirring up trouble, you could say, as he was calling for the temple to be a place of prayer for all nations. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing as he taught. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing as he celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples and showed them how leaders are those who serve. True leaders are those who serve. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing because Jesus chose the cross for you and for me. Now, that historical action has implications for us, you know, both in terms of our own status with God. You know, so if you've ever wondered whether God really cares or God really loves you, the fact that Jesus chose the cross for you and for me should be that reminder that no matter who you are, no matter where you come from in life, no matter what you've done, that you matter so much to God that he would send his own son, Jesus, and Jesus would willingly choose to take on a torturous death in order to pay for your and my and our sins. That through Jesus, there is nothing that stands between us and the love of God the Father. That through Jesus, we are made whole, we are made new, we are brand new, we are forgiven. And that's something that you and I, we can know today. And so if you're here and you're like many, you're struggling with it's an uncertain season in life, and there's some anxiety, there's some fear. Just to know, you know, from that historical act of what Jesus did, that you matter to God, and that he cares how you feel. He cares about you. You are here by God's design, for God's purpose, for God's plan. But the fact that Jesus chose the cross also has some very real implications for us right now. That you know, Jesus saw the greatest human need, and rather than avoid it, he went straight into it. He chose the cross. And even in this time of uncertainty, this time of anxiety, this time where we don't really know exactly what the future is going to hold, that we can know that Jesus is right there with us now as well. Jesus chose the cross historically, and Jesus chooses the cross. You know, in terms of Jesus walks towards the pain. And that's why we can come to him in all of our anxieties, in all of our fears. And that's why I encourage you, you know, if you don't yet know Christ in a personal way, I encourage you to give your heart to him this morning. If you've walked with Jesus for years, maybe it feels like you've drifted. This morning can be an opportunity to reconnect. Can we put the prayer numbers on the screen again? You know, and if you want to talk to somebody, even right now, about what you're feeling and, you know, where you are in your walk with God, any of the numbers that you see on the screen, and if any one of those numbers is busy, just, you know, either try another number or leave a message, and they'll call you back. But to talk to somebody about your relationship with God today, to talk to somebody about what you're feeling, to talk to somebody about your fears, and to allow a brother or sister in Christ to pray with you as you let Jesus into your places of anxiety and fear and pain. Jesus chose the cross because Jesus loves you. And so we're going to be listening to a song together. And this is an old hymn. You might even want to sing along. But as we do, here's what I'd invite you to do. Even is to leave a comment of like a phrase of praise. It might be something as simple as thank you Jesus for. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Something like that. Or if there is a particular prayer request that you would like to share. Again, like with prayer requests, please remember that Facebook is a public forum. So, if it's a prayer request for you, that's a good thing. If it's a prayer request for a loved one, maybe be a little intentionally vague for a family member, for a friend, something like that. But after we have some time to interact around the song with some of these phrases, we're going to actually invite Nick to join us on the live feed remotely, and he's going to lead us in the time of prayer. But let me just lead us in a brief time of prayer, and then we're going to go into that song together. And I just invite you in the comments to leave something there. Participate in some way, even this morning as we're experiencing this together. Thank you, Jesus, for. But let me just lead us in prayer. Jesus, thank you that you chose the cross, that you were so deliberate about what you did, that from your entry into Jerusalem to your teaching in the temple to the Last Supper that you shared with your disciples, you were so intentional. You chose the cross. You chose the pain. You chose to engage in our deepest areas of need. And so, Lord, this morning we come to you knowing and trusting that as we turn our hearts over to you, that you can fill us with your peace. As we turn our hearts over to you, that we can experience your forgiveness and grace and mercy. And thank you that it's there in abundance. And so, Lord, as we remember the cross, as we remember what you did for us, help us to not take that for granted. Thank you that you gave your life, that you chose the cross for us. Thank you that you gave your life, you chose the cross for me. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's worship together through this song. So with Vicki Miller, we thank you, God, for your loving arms in times of trial. With Jim Harris, we thank you, Jesus, for being the Word. With Linda Wickstrom, we thank you, Jesus, for dying so that I might live. With Sue Velasquez, we remember that this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. With Jeff Hughes, we thank you, Jesus, for your protection and your mercy and your grace. With Pam Floyd, we thank you, Jesus, for springtime. With Brooklyn and Grail, we thank you, Jesus, for your unfailing love. With Rose Anderson, we thank you, Lord, for your unconditional love and support. With Brenda Key, we thank you, Jesus, for keeping my family safe. With Debbie Garrow, we thank you, Jesus, for being the light of the world. With Becky People, we thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your loving arms. With Julia Scott, we thank you for a connected church family and an omnipotent God who brings us together. With Dave Belton, we thank you, Lord, for family and fellowship. With Beb Seals, we thank you, Father, for giving us your Son. So we remember that Jesus chose the cross for us. We're going to join together in a time of congregational prayer. I'm going to see if this works. So let's go to the remote cam and see if
there is Nick.
There he is.
There he is.
And so why don't we mute? Just for a sec.
Are you ready?
And so Nick would lead us in prayer.
Yep. All right, dear Heavenly Father, I am just so thankful that even though we are at home, Father, that we have the means to connect, to grow, and to be a family and a congregation in you, Father. Lord, I just lift up Kathy's brother as he is undergone surgery. I pray for recovery, fast recovery. I also pray that that the underlying situation would be 100% gone. Let it never come back. Lord, we pray for health and protection as we are all still kind of in danger as we go out into public, Lord. I just pray that you will give us that protection, help us make wise decisions in these times, Lord, both for ourselves and for our loved ones. Let us be able to sacrifice some things, Lord, so that we may protect those that are around us that are probably at more risk than others. Lord, I pray that as Easter approaches, Lord, that this would be a time for all of us to grow, that this would be a time for us to kind of snap out of the routine that we've been in, Lord, and that we may just grow closer to you both individually and as a church body, as a family. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just set the stage for Easter. We don't know what's coming up. We don't know you know, how this is all going to unfold, Lord, but we know that it is in your hands, Father. And we pray for the strength and the courage to endure through that, Lord. And if and when the time comes that this virus is done, Father, that we may never forget this time that we are in now, so that we may count every Sunday that we get to meet as a blessing. Lord, I am just thankful that you chose the cross, that it is not something that can ever be taken away. That your grace is constantly given to us. I pray for, those who don't know you, Lord. Let them come and know you this Easter in ways that, you know, they're at home, Father. Like, reach them in any way that they need to be reached. All these things we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
So I'd like to invite us to close our time by saying the Lord's Prayer together. And so even if you're at home, to join with us even out loud. So actually, we'll invite some of the rest of the Thompson clan so we can say all that together. And then we're actually going to close with another kind of older, let's see. Lauren, would you move the camera just a little bit? So
yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Look at all that. We'll get the whole. There we go.
Actually,
make a little.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, and so they'll leave me room for the dog and the cat when they join. They're, yeah, because you know, with the cat, the less we want him here, the more he'll come. That's how that works. Anyways, so wherever you are, whatever animals are around you, whatever you're going through, let's remember God's faithfulness together as we say the words of the Lord's Prayer. We'll use King James language and the word sins. So, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So friends, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. Thanks for worshiping with us. I hope to see you midweek with our Maundy Thursday service or our Good Friday service. And I'll stay on camera for a few more moments as well if there's any Q&A or anything you want to leave in the comments. And then we'll sign off for now and look forward to gathering together again on Thursday. Thanks, Mark, for joining us. Thanks, Bev. Thanks, Linda. Rachel, it is good to see you. Karen, thanks for being part of this. Stacy, oh, it's been a while. It's good to see you. Shady, Keith, Jackie. And thanks, Kathy, for being with us online and for reading as well. Nikki, I'm glad you could join us. Perry, I'm glad you could join us. And just a big thanks out to our pastoral team and to our tech team, to Gayla, to Paul, to Nick, and again, just a thanks to Thompson crew for putting up with broadcasting in their living room. But I do pray that through things like this that we can stay connected, even in a time where it's really tempting to get disconnected. Thanks for staying spiritually strong and encouraging one another. God bless you. We'll see you soon.